How's everybody doing? What's that? I didn't hear. It always seems like I'm the only one who is excited to be here. I hope it just seems that way. Okay. So we're back to our study of Ecclesiastes. How are you finding it so far? Very interesting, right? This one's going to be interesting. That's why the title is what it is. Life is like a box of chocolates. You know where that line came from? Forrest Gump, right? You never know what you're going to get. So that's the main gist of the text that we're going to be taking up in chapter 3. This morning, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to begin a study of another chapter, the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, for those of you who missed it, it's available on podcast and it's available on our website. So if you missed last week's, you go there to check it out. Now, for those of you who have been here for all of the sermons, if not some of the sermons on Ecclesiastes, my hope is for us to gain the wisdom that is in this book. Okay? That's what I want for all of us, for myself, for all of you, is for us to gain the wisdom that is in this book with the help of the Holy Spirit, because really it's so hard to see the wisdom in this book because of all the analogies, the metaphors that is in this book. It's so hard to see it, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, hopefully we are able to do that. There are a lot of things that I may have said so far that for some may not be so encouraging. Some may even have taken it out of context from the way I said it. So if that's you, if there's any questions or if there's any misunderstanding between the sermons and the way you took it, the way you understand it, please don't hesitate to come to me. Please don't hesitate to ask me a question. If you're shy, send me a Facebook message, email me something, right? Give me a call. I'm okay with that. I need to hear feedback from you guys in terms of your understanding of this. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time. Because I want you guys to really get what this book is saying. But if that's you, if you have misunderstood something or didn't understand something, let me know. If not, if you got it, you say you got it, I just hope and pray that the study of this book will help us to find the true meaning of life, just like what Kuya Eugene said earlier. At the same time, help us to live joy-filled lives here on earth. Don't let this book fool you. Yes, it sounds sad, everything that we've read so far. But it's Solomon's, what he wants us to see here is how to live a meaningful, joy-filled life here on earth, right? And I believe that this is one of the points that Solomon's trying to make, especially here in chapter 3, again, the first few verses of chapter 3 are probably the most popular verses in the Bible, okay? Even outside Christian circles, because of how the teacher was able to articulate the realities of life that can be seen in these verses. We'll get into that as we go through the verses. And that's what Solomon is saying. This is real life. He's able to articulate real life. And the teacher's bluntness, I would say, in describing the reality of life in this book, more specifically in this chapter, is probably what speaks to me the most when studying this book. I like learning about theology, but I want to also learn how to apply it. What does this look like in real life? Because a lot of us, we read the Bible and we don't think it's real. We think it's just, it happened back then, but it's not applicable now. It is. And that's why I like Solomon so much, because he is a realist. Not only is he a believer in God and a God-fearing man, he's also a realist, right? He is a realist. And the way he has reconciled both the faith and reality, I think it shows just truly how gifted this man was, right? He was truly gifted in imparting wisdom to those who he was writing to in Ecclesiastes and even to us now. And that's the thing that kind of draws me to this book. It's how real it is. It might not seem like it when you read it, but when you really think about it and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you'll see. And again, for me, that's very important. It's very important for me to be able to say what's true, what's real, Because nowadays, we can't just say what's true. We can't just say what's real. We can't just go out and say it. We have to be careful on how we say it, right? We have to make sure we're politically correct and we don't offend anybody. Sad to say that there are more and more people out there who would rather hear something that's partial truth, as long as it's easy to hear, than full truth. Why? Because the full truth, the reality of things, sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it's scary. And sometimes we don't want to hear it. Right? We don't want that. But the teacher here in Ecclesiastes 3, he holds no punches. He holds no punches back when it comes to saying what he wants to say. As we have seen in the previous two chapters. And it will be no different in this chapter. So get ready to take some punches. Because that's what it is. You have to be real, right? And that's Solomon is being real, if you know that expression. Solomon's being real here in chapter 3. So before we dive into chapter 3, let's go back to chapter 2. The last few verses of chapter 2. And I think this is what sets the chapter 3 up, okay? So I think it's the introduction to chapter 3. So go to chapter 2 in your Bibles, verse 24 to 26. It says there's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving for the wind. So if you remember this part, right? Solomon's conclusion, this is Solomon's conclusion after he's done all experiments, right? Experiment in indulgence, experiment in wisdom, experiment in toil. After he's done all that, he says, it is better for man to what? Drink and find enjoyment in his toil. That's his conclusion, right? Right? Solomon concludes that the enjoyment is not found in the things that you toil for, or the fruit of your toil, but more so in the toil itself. And when he talks about toil, he's talking about life. Right? The enjoyment of life is not found in the fruits of why you lived or how you lived. It is found in life itself. Just living life is enjoyment. You can find enjoyment there. And that enjoyment is what? A gift from God. For without God, none of us can experience enjoyment. Right? That's what he's saying here in the last part, right? And again, the reason I say that is because the fruit of toil, the fruit of your life, can be taken away from you. Right? He keeps on saying that the fruit, the things that you work for, the fruit of your work can be taken away from you. By what? Time and death. Those are the two biggest issues in life. Time and death. Time keeps moving. Death doesn't choose anybody. Everybody's going to die. Time's not going to stop for anybody, right? So if you base your joy on the fruit, then one day it's going to be taken away. So that's why he's saying, just enjoy life. Just enjoy life because that can't be taken away from you. Right? It's going to stay with you until you die. Enjoy life. And then Solomon goes on to say where that enjoyment comes from. How do we find joy in the toil? Does it just come? Is it something that we build up in ourselves? No. It is a gift from God. And this gift is given to the one who pleases God, who believes in God, who has faith in God, who has God as their source of true and lasting joy. If God is not the source of your joy, then something else is. A lot of times, it's the fruit. Right? So Solomon is saying that's not a very wise way to live. One day, that fruit is going to be taken away, and then there goes your joy. But God, those who believe in God, their joy remains forever. Now, the reason I take you back to the end of chapter 2 is because if you read down in chapter 3, you read past the verses that we read, in the middle of chapter 3, his conclusion in chapter 3, the first part of chapter 3, is the same thing. Same thing as his conclusion in the end of chapter 2. Check it out. 3, 12 to 13. Verse 12, I perceive that there is nothing better than for them, for man, than to be what? Joyful and do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil. Same thing. Have happy, be happy with your toil, not the fruit of your toil. Take pleasure in the toil, right? Eat and drink to the pleasure in all of his toil. This is God's gift to man. So after saying in chapter 2, enjoy life. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your toil. Enjoy the process. He says the same thing here at the end of chapter 3, in the first half of chapter 3. So now question is, what does the first 8 verses of chapter 3 have to do with any of this? That's where we're at right now, right? The time of seasons, time for everything. What does that have to do with enjoying life? What does it have to do with enjoying our lives? Right? Let's read it again. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Time for war and a time for peace. What does that have to do with our enjoyment of life? Now, upon the quick glance of those verses, we see that different seasons and different facets of life, right? It's seasons in life. To be born, to die, sometimes you plant, there's a time to pluck up, right? We see different seasons and different facets of life. Now, if you add time into the mix, these are lists of life's events, right? Not just seasons, like events. This is what will happen or what's going to happen in our lives, right? Events, things that could happen during our lifetime. But is that all that this is? Is this just Solomon telling us, well, you're going to be born, you're going to die? Yeah, I know that. Right? So why would he tell us this? When you plant, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. I know that. Right? So why would he tell us all this? Is that it? Is it just a list of life's potential events? Or is there any more? Is there something more to this list? I think there is. And I agree with Pastor Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler is a pastor at the Village Church in Texas. He says this about this list at the beginning of chapter 3. And I quote, "Think of this list as a list of ingredients that God mixes together to serve his purposes in your life, in your allotted time, in your set boundaries." So it's not just a list. It's a list of ingredients or parts, right? Solomon is not just describing for us life's events. He's not, because that's obvious. He's telling us life's ingredients, right? Life's ingredients, as if God was to make a car, these are the parts that will make the car. Life, death, born, die, plant, harvest. Or if God is baking a cake, these are the ingredients to bake a cake. Right? So in that sense, right, there's no picking and choosing here. If you want to bake a cake and the recipe says 3 cups of flour, eggs, salt, baking soda, baking powder. You can't say, well, I don't really like baking powder. Take it out. I just want egg and flour. What are you going to get? Nothing. You get a pancake if you put some milk in it. But that's it. There's no picking and choosing here. Right? God is the one who will mix all these ingredients together with time to make up your life experience and my life experience. It comes at different times. We probably have different ingredients. But all our lives are a set of ingredients that God mixes together and makes something out of it. Right? But there's no getting away from it. There's no choosing only the good and not the bad. Right? Like, we can't look at the list here in 3:1-8, and say, well, you know what? I like the time to be born, but time to die, take it out. I don't like that. Or I like the laughter and the dancing, but I don't like the mourning and the weeping. No, take that out. You can't. It's ingredients to life. This is life. This is the reality of life. We have ups and we have downs, right? And there's an old teleserye in the Philippines called Gulong ng Palad. Minsan dito ka, parang gulong, nasa baba ka, minsan. Minsan hilo ka, minsan. Right? There's a time for everything. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're laughing, sometimes you're not. But Solomon's reason for putting this here, okay, what he's saying is that even though some of these things in this list you don't really like, you still have to enjoy life. Right? So when he says enjoy life, enjoy everything in this list. The time to die, enjoy that. Time to weep, enjoy that. Right? Time to lose, enjoy it. Time for war, enjoy it. Right? Question is, how? How do you enjoy? Who here, remember last week I told you guys, Solomon's also telling us, think about death a lot. Think about death. Think about that. It'll change the way you live, right? Anybody here? Once you left the sanctuary, did you start thinking about death? Anybody? Yeah, me, you. We get it. No, not everybody else doesn't get it. But if you do, right? But some of us, we don't like to think about death. I don't want to think about that. That's so morbid, right? So morbid. But that's how people are. People just don't like, some people don't even like talking about the bad things. I don't like talking about death. I think about it. But I know there's some people that don't like to talk about it. They don't even want to think about what they're going to do after their death. What's going to happen after your death? Some people don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about wills. They don't want to talk about funeral arrangements. Right? But can you really get away from death? From death? No. That's why he's saying here, there's a time to be born and a time to. That is part of life. It's there. It's reality. This is reality. That's what I like about Solomon. He's real, right? Now, it's awkward, I get it, to talk about the bad things, especially death. Now, some people, they don't like to talk about money. I don't like talking about money. I don't like discussing money. Have you ever heard me preach a sermon about giving? When it comes to tithes? No. Because that's up to you. I'm not going to force you. And nobody can force you to do that. Right? Plus, I don't like to talk about it because it's money. Right? People don't like to talk about money. People don't like to talk about death. And my wife and I recently, just this past week, we had to talk about both. Why? Because we went and saw our insurance agent. You know, those of you who know life insurance, we had to go meet with our insurance agent. And some of the questions that were asked us, because he was trying to get us into a new policy. You know what insurance is, right? You pay. So in the end, you get nothing. But that's what it is, right? That's insurance. You pay for it. There's money involved. But what are you trying to insure? Your life. Right? So there was these questions about, okay, so when you die, how much, you know, funeral money do you need? Have you been to one of these meetings? Yeah, right? How much funeral money? Because they base your need for the funeral arrangements, or the cost of the funeral arrangements, to the insurance policy that they're going to give you. If you say, I only need, you know, $5 to buy a garbage bag, and you can just throw me off the side of the the road, then they'll say, okay, we'll insure you for $10. And that's it. You only pay 5 cents a month. But no, that's not it, right? So they asked us, what's the minimum amount do you need for your funeral arrangements? So I'm like, I don't want a funeral. Like, I just want to be cremated. Who here wants to be cremated? Yes. There's a big debate on that on the Christian circles, because they're saying cremation is bad because you're putting yourself in hell right away, but you're saved, but you're not supposed to be in the fire. But anyway, it's stupid. I don't mind being cremated, right? I just want to be cremated. Get it over with. I don't want people looking at me, walking past my casket, looking at me. I don't like all that. Like you're in an aquarium, they're looking at you. And you've been to funerals, right? What do you say during your walk? Some of you are like, oh man, they did a bad makeup job, or why did they make them wear that? Or, you know, the hand should have been. I don't want people talking about me like that on while I'm lying there on a casket. So just burn me, get it over with, put a picture up there, and that's it. So the insurance agent says, oh, so how much do you think that costs? $10,000 to be cremated. They get you coming in, they get you coming out. We're sitting there, I'm like, man, like, you know, the two things that people are most awkward to talk about, you talk about with insurance agents. And it sucks, right? But all the scenarios that were given to me by my agent, it's not like she made it all up. It's not like I'm not going to die. She's just trying to get my money. No, I am going to die. And when I die, I won't be able to take care of my funeral. So somebody has to do it. Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to take care of all the arrangements. It sucks to talk about, but you need to talk about it. Why? Because it's going to happen. It's reality. There's a season or a time to be born, and there's a time to die. I think that's what the teacher is doing here in this part of chapter 3. He's opening up topics that are included in life that people don't really want to talk about. He's keeping it real with us. Because sooner or later, we will run into one of these items on the list, whether good or bad. And the teacher wants us to have the wisdom to deal with any of these situations, especially the bad ones, because it's so easy to rejoice during good. But during bad, it's hard to find joy, right? So he's telling us, how do you deal with these things and still be able to enjoy life? That's his main goal, is for us to enjoy life. But he's being real about it. He's not telling us, no, don't worry about death. Just worry about living. And just no, he's being real about it. Like, I don't know about some of the parents here, but when I became a father, the last thing I wanted to do was to shield my kids from the realities that they will run into in life. Not one of those parents that will, you know, I'm going to clean your room for you, even though you can clean your own room. I know some parents like that. They do their kids' laundry and all that stuff. Well, we still do that. You know, but to, like, trying to shield their kids as much as possible to the realities of life. You think that's going to help your kids? I don't think so. Because ultimately, our job as parents is to prepare our kids for adulthood. Imagine an adulthood who doesn't have a grip of reality. They will be lost. They will know where to go. So we should train them in reality. We should train them to know that there are some things out there that are not in your little bubble. That's what we're trying to do with the young people. These things are happening out there. You might not know it, but it's happening. And you might run into it. So be prepared. Be prepared. And I think that's what Solomon is trying to do here as well. Right? I mean, when he was born, I wanted to give him everything, right? All parents are like that, right? We want to give our kids everything, especially here in Canada. But the more I realized that doing that doesn't really help him when it comes to earning something or when it comes to his work ethic, I stopped. You need to earn everything that you're going to get because that's reality. That's how the world works. Again, for parents, a lot of parents, no, when your kid cries, here, okay, have it. You shouldn't do that, right? That's not preparing them for adulthood. In fact, it hinders them from it, right? Again, Matt Chandler, I'm going to quote him again. He said this, people who are never stretched, people who are never hurt, people who never mourn, they usually turn out to be self-centered, spoiled, rotten, vicious people. Why? Because they're so used to getting what they want. When somebody opposes them, they turn vicious. No. Mine. That's what we're doing. If we don't deal with our children in real life terms, at the same time, you're not preparing them for adulthood because as adults, you know the realities of life. You know, I didn't give my children chores just to, you know, sit there and not do anything. They're going to run into that, right? One of these days, they're going to have to do chores. One of these days, they're going to have to cook for themselves. One of these days, right? One of these days, they're going to have to handle their own money. Right? So they need to know and earn the value of it. We just give it to them. Here, 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 here. And then when they get old, they're just going to spend money like that. Yeah, yeah. Feel like it's free. What's going to happen? You're going to be in debt. Right? So we should always deal when it comes to our kids, when it comes to our teaching them, we should always deal in reality. And I think that's what the teacher is trying to tell us here. He's being real so that when we do run into these situations that are in this list, we know how to deal with them and we know how to live life in joy and enjoy life, even when dealing with some of the stuff here that we don't like. Right? So again, back to our original question. How can we enjoy life, enjoy our toil, if life's reality is not always good and that there's always bad mixed in with it? There's always going to be bad. You're not going to live a perfect life. Always bad. When everything seems to be good, there's always something that will pop your bubble, right? Right? So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with it? Let's check out verse 9. 9 to 11a. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Verse 11 is our answer. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Stop there. How do you deal with life's ups and downs? How do you deal with life, you know, the good and the bad when it comes to life? Because you're going to go through it. Those are the ingredients of life. How do you deal with it? How do you enjoy life? Verse 11 says what? He has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, if you join that, if you put that together, mix it with chapter 2, verse 26, we have the answer to our question. Right? What does chapter 2, verse 26 say? For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given, for the one who pleases him, God has given the wisdom and knowledge and joy. Stop there. So in verse 26, the teacher is saying, for you to get joy, you need to please God. For you to please God, you need to believe in God. Now, if you mix that with 11a, what's 11a again? He has made everything beautiful in his time. What's the answer to our question? How do we enjoy life? Teacher says enjoyment of life, okay, is a gift from God to those who believe. Right? Believe what? That God is able to make everything beautiful in its time. So if it's a time to die, God can make that beautiful. We need to believe that in order for us to enjoy everything in here. If you don't believe that, when the bad times come, you'll be wiped out. That's it. Right? And that can only happen if your joy, your satisfaction is firmly rooted in God by faith. Right? There's no getting away from it. There is no getting away from it. Look at it. For parents, the most enjoyable thing to be a parent is when your child is born, right? When your child is born, that's it. You're so happy. Some of you, I don't know. All parents here happy when their children were born? Because some are not, right? Oh, no. Right? But as a parent, I could say that I was happy. First time Eli was born, I was so happy, right? But was it just that moment that I was happy? No, I was also happy when I found out that Ate Jen was pregnant. I was happy already. Hasn't even been born yet. But is it all happy? No. Happiness starts when you find out that your wife is pregnant. Yeah, happy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be a father. Right? And then what happens after that to the ladies? Blah, blah. Right, you start feeling nausea, you start feeling dizzy. In the case of my Jen's pregnancy, I was the one who was puking every morning, and I was the one, I can't eat what I want to eat. I was the one doing that, right? Right? Then after that, the kid grows, right? The baby, and it starts kicking, right? The little hand starts sticking out of the belly, happy again. Oh, look, it's growing. And then comes delivery. Any women happy during delivery? I don't think so. I'm never going to do this again. Why did you do this to me? Blah, 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 blah. Right? And then when the baby comes out, happy again. Right? That's how it is with kids. And then when they grow up, when they're little, oh, it's so cute. They become five and they talk back to you. It's the same. It's all ups and downs. How do you deal with that? How do you enjoy that whole thing? It's for you to believe that God is able to make something beautiful, even if your toddler is cursing at you at that point, that God is able to make something beautiful from that. Right? That God will, if you just share the gospel to him, if you just believe, if God would just grant repentance, then you'll be happy forever. Be with your family, with your kids in heaven. It's like eating a donut, right? When you eat the donut, who here likes donuts? Well, don't be shy. It's okay. Enjoy life, right? Eat your donuts. Just don't eat too much of it. All right? I like eating donuts. My favorite is Boston cream. Okay? Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Now, do you know the ingredients to donuts? Let me read it to you. If we just eat it, we don't even know the ingredients. Let me read you the ingredients to donuts. Enriched wheat flour, water, shortening, palm oil, modified whatever, palm oil, TBHQ, I don't know what that is, yeast, sugar, whey, powder, salt, leavening, sodium, acid, pyrophosphate, sodium bichromate, emulsifiers, sodium sterol, dextrose, all that stuff, artificial flavor, color, number, yellow number 5 and number 6. And whatever else. Those are the ingredients to a Tim Hortons donut. Okay? When you eat the Tim Hortons donut, it's just enjoyment, right? But if you pick and choose, let me see. I'm just going to eat the yeast right now. Or maybe the sugar. I'll eat the sugar. Because sugar you can enjoy. Ah, yeah, your sugar. But you don't get the same amount of enjoyment in eating the whole donut. You get what I'm saying? If you eat the sugar by itself, or if you just... there's nothing else here that you can eat by yourself. The powdered milk or the whey powder, you eat that by itself with the sugar, it's good. But you don't get the same enjoyment as eating the whole donut. But if you just eat the flour, who eats flour? Like, I don't know anybody who likes to eat flour. But I know a lot of people who like to eat donuts. So when we talk about the list here, and we're looking at it, I'm like, oh man, there's a time to die, a time to weep, and a time to... God says, just enjoy all of it. Trust me, because later on, that's going to be a donut. Do you get what I'm saying? Later on, it's going to be a donut. Like, you're going to enjoy it no matter what you have to go through or what you've been through life. If you trust in God, later on, he can make that into something that you can take a bite out of and enjoy. Right? If you would just trust in him. If you would just believe in him. Right? Problem with us is our views are so limited. Right? We tend to want to pick and choose from the ingredients and select only the ones that we're going to like. We sometimes even question God about the ingredients that he places in our lives that we don't like. Like, Lord, why are we always fighting? Like, why are me and my kids not getting together? Why can't we just understand each other? Why is my wife like this? Why is my husband like that? Why is my job like this? Why'd you take my job away from me? Why'd you give me cancer? Why'd you allow me to have cancer? You know, those things, we tend to just, oh, God, why? Don't you know or don't you believe that God, even in your cancer, is working something good? And in time, it will come, whether in your death or in your cure. Think about it, right? That's the wisdom here. How do you enjoy life if there's good and bad? And believe that God is working, right? Believe that God's working. And again, in terms of the donut illustration, you don't just eat the yeast. You don't just drink the vegetable oil or the ascorbic acid, right? Some of us live in that world. Without our faith in God, that's all we're doing. We're just eating ascorbic acid and drinking vegetable oil, not knowing that if we trust God, there's more enjoyment to be had. Right? That's what I think that's the message here. That if you would just trust God through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to take all the good from the ingredients, mix it in with the bad, and create a life for us that one day we can take a bite out of and enjoy. One day, may not be here, but one day you will enjoy it. That's how good God is, I think. That's why I think the scripture tells us in Psalm 34:8, what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Blessed is the man who trusts Him with his life. Right? I think that's what that means. I think that's a message and that's the wisdom here in chapter 3. In that part of chapter 3. Now let's keep moving forward. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I've touched on this first few sermons in Ecclesiastes. This verse means that because God is the source of pure eternal joy and the giver of such joy, He created our hearts to be big enough to absorb all the joy that He can give. Right? That's why our appetite for joy and satisfaction is so much that after we buy the new cell phone, buy the new house, after a few years, after a few months, we want something new again. Because God created our hearts to absorb and take in all the joy that He can give. Not what the material things in this world can give. Right? And again, we saw that in Solomon's experiments. In Solomon's experiments in chapter 2, he tried to fill his heart with fake joys. He tried to indulge in parties. He tried to indulge in building. He tried to indulge in sex. He tried to indulge in collecting. He tried to indulge in retirement. But did that make him happy? Did that give him the meaning of life? No. He said, all is vanity. Nothing satisfies. Anything under the sun will not do. And then the last part of verse 11 says that even though God has put eternity into man's heart, there are still some things that we cannot know about how God works. Right? That's what it says, right? Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. What does that mean? I believe these things that we cannot know are the things that we cannot see during the bad times. Get that? Things that we cannot know about what God has done from beginning to end are the things that we are blind to, that we become blind to during the bad times of life. We can't see it because we're in the bad times. All we see is darkness, right? But even in those, we have to trust that God is working. It's hard to see in the dark, right? And the only way to maneuver and to overcome the darkness in this case is to wait and trust that the light is coming and will reveal Himself in our darkest times. Again, with faith comes pleasing God, and with pleasing God comes the gift of enjoyment, even when it's dark. That's why you can enjoy a time to die. You can enjoy a time to kill. I'm not going to get into what that means. Right? You can enjoy a time to break down, or a time to weep, or a time to mourn. You can enjoy all that, even if you're in the dark, if you trust that God is working, even though you can't see it, even though you can't find it out, even though there's no clue there that God is working. That's what that means, I think, in verse 11. And then in verse 12 is his conclusion. Verse 12 says, I perceive that there is nothing better than for them to be joyful and do good as long as they live. So Solomon's conclusion, eat, drink, and take pleasure in your life. It's God's gift to man. Even through life's ups and downs, the one who pleases God will receive the gift of joy because God is able to make everything beautiful in His time. Right? Keep going. 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. 15. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Again, I think that this part of chapter 3 is referring to the list of ingredients, and how these, the ingredients in this list are God-ordained. There is nothing in the list that is beyond the knowledge of God. God is sovereign over the list of ingredients in your life, both the good and the bad, and we need to trust that God is mixing it up to make something beautiful in the end. That's a message, right? Your list doesn't have to be this. It could be something else. Like you, if I was to ask you to make your list right now, what time are you in right now? Are you a time of mourning? Are you a time of enjoying? Are you a time of laughter? Is there a time of job loss? Are you in a time of marriage problems? Are you in a time of relational problems? What time are you at right now? Right? This list, whatever time you have, whatever list you may have, is God ordained. God mixed it in there with your life right now for His purposes and ultimately for His glory and for your enjoyment. Do you believe that? Even the dark? Really? Because if you don't, you're not going to overcome. Right? There's no getting away from it. It's part of your life. Right? All these things are part of our lives. They're God ordained. But again, the hope here is, and the good news here is that it's God who put it there, and He's sovereign over it. He knows. He's not surprised that you're going through marriage problems. He's not surprised that you're going through job loss right now. It's not like He's in heaven. Oh, no. Jacob lost his job. What are we going to do? No. He knows. It's His list. And it's for our good. Right? God is sovereign over the list, both good and the bad. And my favorite verse in all the Bible, Romans 8:28. What does it say? Come on, read it. Yeah, according to His purpose. He mixed up all those things, good and bad. Put it in with time, mixed it. Put it in the oven, baked it. According to His purpose. What's His purpose again? So that we can find enjoyment in Him. Right? And look at that. And it's all things. All things work together for good. All things. Everything in the list. The good and the bad. Right? So again, what's the wisdom? Enjoy. What's the wisdom in this? Enjoy life. You see? As a believer, enjoy life. If you're not a believer, what does it say in the last verse of chapter 2? To the sinner, He has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. To the sinner, your enjoyment will come from gathering and collecting. New cell phone, new shoes, new wife. To the sinner, they find their enjoyment in that. Not knowing that they're running in a treadmill, that 2 weeks from now, they're going to want a new wife. And another new wife. And another one, and another one, and another one. They die and they don't. Nothing to show for it. Right? But for those who believe, man, the donut up there must be really good. Right? And what makes it better is the fact that you went through all the hard stuff. Right? That's why I hate to say this, but I don't agree with people leaving the church because of some argument here and there. The church is not doing well. There was something bad in the church. Why are you going to leave? Don't you know that you can enjoy it more if you work through all this and then come out and see God's faithfulness in the end? And that you're missing that when you go somewhere else where you think everything is perfect? It sucks. Same thing with marriages. You keep fighting. That's it. I'm leaving. Don't you know that the marriage will all the more be sweeter if you work through this, trust God and His faithfulness, and then see your marriage go 50, 60, 70, 80 years? Doesn't matter if the first 20 were spent fighting. But in the end, if you trust God, both you and your husband, you and your wife, just trust that He's mixing all these things up, making it beautiful in His time. When you know that, you enjoy life.
You believe that? You're convinced of that? You enjoy life no matter what comes. No matter what comes. So when you're up, enjoy it. When you're down, enjoy it. Believe that the all-sovereign, all-powerful God is more than able to make everything beautiful in His name.